Thank you for the good singing today on this very special day, a day where we draw special attention and give special thanks to the Lord for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're glad that you're here. I want to say welcome to those that are watching us on live stream. We have some people at home watching today. I believe we might even have a few in the hospital we're praying for, and I hope that you're able to join us as well. If you're watching a recording, we welcome you, and we want to give a special welcome to our college students. We have college students that are building down below. And college students, we're very glad that you're here, and thank you for joining us. And we welcome all of you this special day. Now, at churches all around the globe, you would come to a service on Resurrection Sunday, and you would hear a message about the resurrection of Jesus. It has to be that way, right? I mean, it'd be like, would you want to go to church on Christmas and not hear something related to the birth of Jesus? Obviously not. We come together today, we fully expect to take a little bit of a look at the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And typically, we would find ourselves in one of the gospel accounts, okay? So Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And that would be a great place to be. We're actually going to go somewhere a little different today. We're going to open up to 1 Peter, and we're going to take a look at a passage that still relates to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if I could remind you, 1 Peter, it's a letter written by the Apostle Peter, and it's written to people that are suffering, and they're going through really hard times. So I just want to start with that. It might be that you're today not having the best Easter / Resurrection Sunday you've ever had. And it might be that there's challenges going on in your life. Those could be physical challenges, those could be financial problems, those could be vocational, interpersonal things. It might be just you've gone through some really difficult times this year. And you might honestly say, Greg, out of all the Easter or Resurrection Sundays I can remember, this is not at the top of the list. I just want to remind you that those are the kinds of people that Peter wrote a letter to. And here's what Peter said to them at the very beginning of his letter, 1 Peter chapter 1, I'll read verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter begins, blessed be the God and Father. It's a praise, it's a doxology. And if you read through your Old Testament, you'll hear a praise like that quite frequently. What you won't hear is that second part that he added. You can read your Old Testament and read, blessed be God, many, many times. But notice what Peter adds here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that God is what? One God. We're monotheistic. But there's three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In fact, what? You're worshiping in Trinity Bible Church today. And it is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a distinctly Christian praise. And Peter's thankful. He's writing to suffering people. But he's thankful, and he wants them to be thankful. And he wants them to bless God. You say, why? Because God is worthy of our praise. You say, why would I want to praise God even when life is hard? Well, because God is merciful, because God is gracious, and because God is powerful. And that's what I'm calling the message today from verse 3 primarily. We'll peek into 4 and 5 as well. Praise our merciful, gracious, powerful God. Let's take a look at those one at a time. I'll start reading in verse 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His great mercy, God is merciful to people like us, because people like us, what's one thing we all have in common? We all have sinned. Every one of us is a sinner. I don't believe there's anyone in this room I would trust who would be proud or arrogant enough or confused enough to stand up and say, I've never sinned. Every one of us has sinned. Every one of us is a sinner. God is a holy God, and we're sinful people. God has every right to judge us for our sin. But if your faith is in Jesus Christ, that'll never happen. Why? Not because you're awesome, but because God is merciful. I looked up the word merciful in a dictionary. Let me read. It means compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. God has the power to punish me. God has the power to judge me eternally for my sin. And if he did, guys, I could say nothing. But he won't. You say, why? Because he's merciful. And even though I deserve eternal death and condemnation, it's never going to happen because God is a merciful God. Let me see if I can give you just an everyday illustration if this helps. I had a friend who had his wife pass away a number of years ago, and there was a funeral up in North Carolina, so I jumped in my truck, and I'm heading up into North Carolina. I'm going down Highway 11. I think a lot of you know scenic Highway 11. It's wide open. It's beautiful. When you crest the hill, you could probably see for a mile or two. There's no traffic. The sun is out. The road's dry. There's no cars coming in and out because there's no traffic. So I'm driving faster than I should, okay? I'm getting a funny look by a patrolman back in this corner. I confess, I was going faster than I should. And guess what? I look in my rearview mirror, and there's blue lights. So blue lights behind me. I pull over, right? I do what I'm supposed to do. I've always been taught you turn off your ignition, right? That way the officer knows there's a key. It's not hot wired. You turn off your ignition. You put your hands in right where they could see him on top of the dash. I wait for the officer to come. Yes, officer. And he says, let me see your license. Yes, officer. Do you know you were going too fast? Yes, officer. Let me see your registration. Yes, officer. Officer, it's in my glove box. I'm going to get it for you. There's something else in there I thought I'd tell you about. And he says, okay. So I tell him. He says, let me see that. We're good. He goes back to his car. He's checking my license on my truck. He's checking the license on my driver's license. He's running a serial number on what was in my glove box. And I'm just sitting there. And I'm thinking, what's going on, right? What's going on? I'm guilty. If he comes back and says to me, Mr. Mazak, you are exceeding the speed limit. You get a ticket. What can I say? I can't say I wasn't going too fast. I was. He comes to the window. I'm getting nervous. He says, Mr. Mazak. I said, yes, sir. He said, consider this a warning. I said, thank you, sir. He said, have a good day. I'm like, I'm having one, you know? Because he was merciful to me. Now, that's a silly illustration. But maybe that just helps us to think. That police officer would have been right to give me the ticket. God would be right to judge us for our sin. But he's merciful. Let me read Ephesians 2, 4 through 5. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it's because God is rich in mercy. How about Titus 3, 5? He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. If you know what it means to be saved, meaning you'll never be judged for your sin, that's only because God is a merciful God. But God is more than merciful. God is also a gracious God. So why would you praise God on a day like today, even if it's maybe not the best day you've ever had? Well, number one, because God is merciful. We deserve death, but we will not be judged for our sin if we believe in Jesus. Number two, God is gracious. We have been given eternal life. Notice again, verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. Born again. It's an interesting phrase. I remember when I was, before I was a Christian, I would hear people talk about being born again. And I suppose actually most of the time it was in jokes. I would hear people laugh at being born again, make fun of being born again. I had no idea where that phrase came from. And then I put my faith in Jesus and I'm reading my Bible one day and it's like, wow, here it is. It's actually in the Bible. God, who has caused us to be born again, to give us this gift of new life. It's an interesting word. It's only used twice in the Bible. The only other times in verse 23 of the same chapter. You've been, there it is again, born again. Not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring Word of God. If you have been forgiven of your sin because you've been, what? You put faith in Jesus Christ. That's only because, we would say, you've been granted this gift of new life. You've been born again. Most people don't believe that. See, I always thought before I became a Christian, a real Christian, I grew up in church. I went to parochial schools my whole life. I always thought, like, good people go to heaven, right? Bad people don't go to heaven. Good people go to heaven. And so I guess, like, if I do good stuff, I'll get to go to heaven. But think about, guys, what it means to be born again. It's not like good people get born and bad people don't get born. Do you know what I mean? What did you do to participate in your physical birth, right? Think about that. I've seen three people be birthed, if that's the right way to say that. Enter this world. Those would be my three daughters. I've never seen a birth before then. I know today, I guess you could probably YouTube it or something, I imagine. I've, for whatever reason, never felt inclined. And yet I saw three, maybe there was there a YouTube when no, okay, maybe that's part of it. YouTube wasn't out when our girls were born. And I was there as Nancy delivered. I watched all three of our girls, they're now adults, enter this world through birth. It was beautiful every time. And not once did one of them come out of the birth canal, look at me, and say, "Dad, I did it!" You know what I mean? They didn't do that. You really didn't have a lot to do with your birth, guys, but your mother, and was helped by a physician or a midwife or a nurse or somebody, and you entered this world through birth. That's a beautiful picture of how we receive eternal life. And it's all because God is a gracious God. And the text says, notice verse 5 again, verse 3 rather, of chapter 1. It says, God in His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a what? To a living hope. That's a thing or a person, okay? So hope here is not talking about, I really, really hope that. It's not talking about a feeling or an expectation. It's talking about the object of your hope. So God blesses people with new birth, and then they now have a living hope. You say, what is that living hope? Go down to verse 4. And Peter describes it as what? As an inheritance. So when you become a believer in Jesus, you are born again. You are born again to a living hope. What is your living hope? It's an inheritance. What is true of that inheritance? If you have a Bible, look at your verse 4. To obtain an inheritance, which is first of all imperishable. That means it could never perish. It will never wear out over time. Secondly, it's undefiled. That means it could never spoil. It's unstained by sin. Thirdly, it will not fade away. It's not something that over time loses its value, like money or the shine of a new car that looks so nice, but over time, not so nice. And then notice at the very end of verse 4, and it's reserved in heaven for you. If you have been blessed with new life in Christ, right now you have been given the assurance of a living hope, which is an inheritance, and it is right now today reserved for you. Think of a restaurant. Think of a really nice restaurant where when you make a reservation, they put your name on a list. And they say, we have a table reserved for you. And even though you're not here yet, it's yours. And as soon as you come through that door, you have a place. That's what Peter's talking about. You have an inheritance. You say, Greg, what is it? Just go one more verse. Notice what it says in verse 5. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What Peter calls a living hope in verse 3, he calls an inheritance in verse 4, he calls your salvation in verse 5. That's what God has given you graciously if your faith is in Jesus Christ. And if that's true, then even if you're not having the world's best day today, you have every reason to praise God because He's been merciful to you. He should judge you for your sin, but He's not. Secondly, He's gracious to you, and He's given you this gift of eternal life, new life, being born again, a living hope, an inheritance, a salvation. I'd like to try to maybe contrast these two points a little bit just to help us be even more appreciative. Can I go back to the police officer story? God was merciful. Excuse me. The police officer was merciful to me. God's been merciful to me. Was the police officer gracious to me? You know, I don't know. The officer said, Mr. Mazak, have a good day. And I thought, mercy. This is great. He didn't hand me a gift card and say, take your wife out to eat. It was a blessing pulling you over. All right? He, you see what I mean? He was merciful, and I'm not taking anything away. I'm glad he was merciful. But he wasn't gracious in the sense. He didn't give me anything. You say, how about God? God's been merciful to me. And here I'll never be judged for my sin. But God has been more than merciful, guys. Here's the point. God has been gracious to me. God has not only said, Greg, I'm not going to judge you because Jesus died on a cross in your place. God has also said, I'm giving you new life, a hope, an inheritance, a salvation. It's more than mercy. It's also grace. And I was trying to think of an illustration to bring this second point out. And something happened yesterday. And it was very surprising. It was out of the blue. I didn't expect it. And I thought, this is my illustration. I was at the men's meeting yesterday, and a brother from our church came up to me and said, my wife and I greatly appreciate your ministry. And you know, and I think you've made it almost one of your goals is to encourage me, and I appreciate that. And he said, we have a gift for you. And I said, well, okay. And he gave me a card, and I read the card, and it basically says, Greg, thank you for your ministry. We want to be a blessing to you. We are giving you a gift of a new motorcycle. That's what he did. So here's a couple from our church, and they gave me the gift of a brand new motorcycle. You say, so now how many do you have? 3. Okay? I'm not making this up. I have never before been given a Paw Patrol motorcycle. Guys, this is not fake. That's real metal. It's diecast. Okay? It's about this big, but don't think this is a toy. It's real metal. Okay? And I was so happy to get my first ever Paw Patrol motorcycle. And he gave that to me as a gift. You know, it's funny. I took it home yesterday and my grandson was over. And he said, Papa, he said, you have a Paw Patrol motorcycle. I said, yes. He said, why do you have a Paw Patrol motorcycle? I said, well, there's this really, really awesome couple at church, and they wanted to give me a gift. He says, is it mine? And I said, well, no, they gave it to Papa. He said, are you going to give it to me? And I said, how about we share it? Okay, and that's the deal. And we all know where that's going to end, right? One's going to have it more. And that is actually a gift. And it was actually a blessing. I hope that makes clear what I mean by grace. God has been merciful. He's not judged me for my sin. But God has been gracious. He's given me new life in Christ. And you say, how? How does God graciously give people the gift of new life so that they have a living hope, so that they have a wonderful inheritance, so that they receive this gift of salvation? Well, notice back to verse 3 what the Bible says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope. How? Notice the end, please, of verse 3. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God is not only merciful and gracious, God is powerful. God raised Jesus from the dead. Now, we know our Bibles, at least, even if you don't know your Bible well, you know this story. And it's easy for us to think, yeah, you know, Good Friday, just 2 days ago, we drew special attention to Jesus suffering and dying on a cross, and well, we should. But you know, he's going to be raised from the dead in 3 days, everything's fine. And we just have to remember that when this first happened, that wasn't necessarily how the followers of Jesus felt, right? I mean, here are people following Jesus, putting faith in Jesus, and they don't understand all we understand now. And Jesus is crucified, and He dies, and He's buried. And it would seem like, wow, the Jewish leaders who hated Him won. The Roman soldiers who crucified Him won. You guys, when that Easter Sunday, that first Sunday came, and these faithful, wonderful women who love Jesus go to the tomb, what are they doing? They're carrying spices to anoint His body for His burial. They're not expecting to find an empty tomb. They're expecting to find the body of one whom they love. And they come to that tomb. And you say, what's happened? And the stone is rolled away. Can I remind us all? Question, why was the stone rolled away? You say to let Jesus out. Wrong answer, okay? The stone's not rolled away to let Jesus out. He's gone. The stone is rolled away to let us in so that we could look inside and say what they said. That tomb is empty. There's His clothes. It's just like He said. He's risen from the dead. And they rejoiced in that. And it's through that resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see that at the end of verse 3. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God the Father bringing Christ back to life. That's the same resurrection you can have complete confidence in. You know, you may struggle with this a little bit. I know of Christians who struggle with this. I talk to many people, which I'm thankful to do as an elder, as the pastor teacher here at Trinity. And I talk to people who struggle with impending death, and I get that. And they struggle with knowing that loved ones, even though they had faith in Jesus, still passed away. I get that. But we have to really come to grips with this reality that Christ literally, historically, rose from the dead. If you're a believer in Jesus, you will literally, historically, bodily, it will happen as a point in time, just as real as this day is, you will be raised from the dead. And you will have a new body, and you will experience new life. And that's the reality for every Christian. Notice what the text says. It says what? You're caused by God being merciful. He's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So is being born again through the resurrection of Christ? Well, yes. Or is the living hope through the resurrection of Christ? Well, yes. Glue them together. being born again to a living hope altogether is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A lot of people say, keep looking forward. That's good advice. I'm not contradicting that. But guys, with one eye forward, please keep looking backwards. You say, why would I look backwards, Greg? To the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me see if I can illustrate it this way. If I asked you a question, do you believe the sun is going to rise tomorrow morning? I'm guessing most of you would say yes. Why? Well, the sun rose this morning. We can look back to this morning. The sun rose yesterday morning. In fact, the sun rose Thursday morning. No, the sun rose Wednesday morning. And we could go back day by day. For a guy like me who's just about 60 now, do the math, 60 years, 365 days a year, I have experienced roughly 21,900 sunrises. It's a lot of sunrises. And if you say, do you honestly believe the sun's going to rise tomorrow, unless Christ comes back, is the sun literally going to rise tomorrow? I would say yes. And it's not just I hope it does, but I'm not sure. It's based on a historical reality. That is the confidence that God wants you to have in your literal, bodily, physical resurrection if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God is merciful. If you realize that you deserve death, but you've put faith in Jesus, you'll never experience it because God's merciful. God is gracious. If you would put your faith in Jesus Christ, you'll receive new life and you'll have that opportunity to look forward, what? To a living hope, an inheritance, your salvation. God is powerful. The very God who raised Jesus from the dead is able to raise us all from the dead. This is our text this morning. This is what Peter wrote to people that were suffering. Praise God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Closing question. Are you in that verse? Is that your verse? Peter saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter's including himself. Peter's in the verse. Peter's writing to churches, and you might not know the Bible well, but he's writing this letter to a bunch of different churches in Asia Minor. They're in the verse. My question for you this morning, are you in the verse? Is this true for you? Have you experienced new birth? Are you a person who knows what it means to be a recipient of mercy? If I could use the silly illustration, me, the officer, saying, have a good day, Mr. Mazak, me thinking, wow, that's a blessing. Have you ever personally experienced forgiveness from God? You say, what does that look like? How would I do that? What does it mean? Well, I know one thing it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean be a really, really good person. Treat everybody nice. Be nice. And if you're a good man, you'll go to heaven. How many times have we heard that at funerals? He was such a good man. The implication being, oh, well, at least we know he's in heaven because good people go to heaven. Is not what the Bible teaches. Going to heaven is something experienced only by those who get this gift of being born again. You say, okay, Greg, who gets that gift? Well, one more verse, and we'll close. In Romans chapter 10, here's what the Apostle Paul wrote in verse 9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It needs to be something you say it, but you don't just say it and don't believe it. It's something you believe inside you. Heart, obviously, doesn't mean the organ pumping blood. It's the real you. If I could paraphrase this, you say it because you mean it. What do you say? Jesus, you are my Lord. You weren't physically born that way. You were born being your own Lord. Just this morning, I was back by the nursery area there heating up coffee, and there was a very cute little girl screaming so loud, so unhappy, so cute. I mean, mom and dad are in here, grandpa too. She's very cute, okay? But boy, she has a set of lungs. And you know what was going on? She was just like you, just like me. She wasn't getting her way. And she was crying and screaming. In her cute little brain, she is the queen of her life. She is her own Lord. Do you know that's how we all are? Every one of us, we enter this world doing what we want, living for ourselves. And I just illustrate it like this, right? I walk after what I want. This is what I want. If I don't get what I want, I'm not a happy camper. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. You know what that means? That means turning this way. No, Greg, you're not Lord anymore. Jesus, you are Lord. That's called repentance, if you want a big word. It means turning. That's called faith. Faith is another word for believing. How does a person become a Christian? You're walking your own way, the way you walk since you were born physically, and then you experience a new birth as you turn, and now you're following Jesus, and you're saying, Jesus, you're my Lord. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, I literally believe in the resurrection. I literally believe in a historical resurrection of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I literally believe that God in the flesh died on an old rugged cross in my place, paying the price of my sin, and his sacrifice was accepted. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. That's my faith. That's the faith of every true Christian. And if that's your faith, look at the end, the last four words. Romans 10:9, you will be saved. You might be thinking, wow, Greg, you told me this morning the word born again is actually in the Bible. I didn't know that. I've heard people talking about, are you saved? Now you're showing me that's in the Bible. It is. And we all need to be saved. Either you will pay the price of your sin, or God would show you mercy, not judge you, and give you the gift of new life. Those are the only two options on the table. There's no third option. Either you pay for your sin, or you trust that Jesus on the cross paid for your sin. You say, Greg, I would love to know that Jesus paid for my sin. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You could right now, this Easter resurrection morning, you could confess, Lord, I've been walking after my own stuff my whole life. Today, I confess, Jesus, you are Lord. I believe you died for me and rose again. And God would give you the gift of eternal life. You could have that today. You could rejoice that you're forgiven today. If you've never put your faith in Christ, you could do that today. You don't have to be in church, okay? It doesn't have to be on Easter Sunday. But you have to do that. Because if you don't, then you will have to pay the price of your own sin. And I promise you, you don't want to do that. And so the invitation is clear. Would you be willing to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? because you believe in your heart that Christ died on a cross for you and was raised from the dead, would you experience the gift of salvation today? If you want to, you can. And if that's not something that you want, the only reason that you would not receive it is because you don't want it. Jesus says, "You come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus turns no one away. If you've never come to Christ, come to Christ. And if you say, "Greg, I got questions, whatever," talk to me after the service. I would be glad to talk with you. If it's a lady, I'll set you up with my wife or another one of the ladies. If you say, "I want to talk, but I got Easter stuff going on," I'll be glad to either me or we'll get someone to meet with you this week for coffee, for lunch, for a phone call, whatever you'd be comfortable with. If you would like to talk to someone, not about what we think, but about what the Bible teaches, we would be glad to do it. I trust that you would be able to say this morning, "I know Christ, I've been forgiven, I've received eternal life, I'm looking forward to my blessed hope, I'm excited about this inheritance, my salvation, and I just want to praise God for it this morning. By His grace, I trust that so." Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, not only for His humility in coming into this world. Thank you not only for His ability to live a sinless life. Thank you, Lord, for His willingness to go to a cross, to suffer, to die. And thank you, Lord, for raising Him from the dead, and now He's ascended to Your right hand. Lord, we've just looked at the gospel this morning. We've been reminded of what the whole Bible's about. That You are a God of mercy and grace and power. And when someone comes to You believing in their heart that they want to confess that Jesus is Lord, as they believe that You've raised them from the dead, You promise they'll be saved. Lord, for all of Your children listening this morning, encourage them with the joy of their salvation today. And help them to rejoice throughout this day and through the days to come in the resurrected Jesus. Father, for those in this room who maybe heard this before, and yet they've never put faith in Jesus, even right now we pray, Lord, that You would draw them to Yourself and they would come to know You, that they would believe and they would experience forgiveness. And Lord, for those who are maybe hearing for the first time and maybe thinking about it, we pray that You would bless them, give them clarity of mind, illumine their hearts. And we pray, Lord, that You would show Yourself merciful to them and that You would bring them to the place where they too would put faith in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.